You the only one who made it?
Not the only one.
Did you kill it?
Where were you, Charles?
Thought I saw Blair. I went out after him. Got lost in the storm. Fire's got the temperature up all over the camp. Won't last long, though.
Neither will we.
How will we make it?
Maybe we should.
If you're worried about me...
If we've got any surprises for each other... I don't think we're in much shape to do anything about it.
Well, what do we do?
Why don't we just wait here for a little while? See what happens.
Damien.
And this is Douglas! And we're kind of lost because Damien just entered and we're still kind of prepping, but we don't have time to do our usual 20 minutes of nonsense to come back to the show. So we're just starting.
We're rambling. Absolutely nothing. I know we could try. Mobile World Congress is next week.
Yes, yes it is.
New phones and tablets.
Oh my goodness, the Samsung S5 is going to be pretty... No, I don't care.
We don't.
None of us cares. No. But this week, regardless, Damien decided to challenge us.
Mm-hmm.
As if we are his enemies.
Sure.
And ask us to finally take a look at Spike Lee's latest film, Old Boy.
His new joint.
What happened to him?
He showed up last night.
I need your help, Chucky.
I haven't seen the guy in like 20 years.
Who are you?
If you were trying to find your daughter and clear your name, I could help you.
If you would like to see your daughter alive again, answer two questions. One, why did I imprison you for 20 years?
So, Damien, why don't you tell us what this movie is about?
Right. So, Old Boy is about a movie that came out a long time ago in Korea. And the director sold the rights so that he could make a tremendous movie last year.
One of your favorite.
My absolute favoriteest movie of last year. Alright, if you're listening to this podcast, high chance that you know what Old Boy
is. Should we just call spoilers on this movie to begin with? Because...
Yeah, we probably should.
We probably should. Like, guys, Old Boy, as we know it, it's more than 10 years old. Roughly 10 years old. So I think we can call it on this movie. So
yeah.
Just quickly, did you like this movie, the new one?
Yes,
yes or no?
A whole lot.
Douglas?
This new movie?
The new one.
It's hard for me to say.
So you're
but,
in between.
But I think it's not as bad as everybody... It's not bad. Everybody makes it out to be bad because we're all comparing it to what we in our head have as the greatest thing ever. But... I'm not sure I'd want to watch it again. wait, hold on, sorry. Let me go back. I don't know what this movie is like because I refuse to watch this movie.
Principle.
I will give this movie a medium yes. You know, like
that's not even like English. it's like three disciplines.
It's
just
not...
What it is,
it's not a bad movie. That's
okay.
What I'll give it.
Fine.
So we're going to go into spoilers about this movie, and the way we are, I don't know where it's going to come, so I'm just giving that warning now.
Yeah, but and guys, let's be serious now. We joke around a lot on this podcast, but there are now two versions of Old Boy. One for people who
like movies,
like subtitles and one for people who don't. And if you haven't seen this movie, whichever one you watch will be fine. I went into this movie with just boiling hatred.
You're like, let's give you some.
I just looked at, you know what? This is horseshit. I was actually angry that the movie kind of existed. And then I stopped and looked at, I said, all right, let me look at who is in the movie. Like, I know Spike Lee directed it.
Did you see your Olsen and you were like,
right.
I have to
no,
watch it.
No, but it's not only that. I saw this long list of people who I respect as actors. And there's this director that I respect as a director. Telling a story.
So Chocolate Giants didn't kill it?
No. I still always have a warm place in my heart for Spike Lee. And they're telling a story that, yes, I've heard the story before, but that shouldn't be to the movie's detriment. Me knowing the story shouldn't hurt the fact that the movie is good or not. And so I said, alright, you know what? Let me force myself to watch it. And let me also force the only two dirtbags I know to watch it as well. And I sat down and for a solid 30 minutes I was in hate with this movie. Like, loathing every second of it. Because I'm like, oh, he's just doing, like, he's shot for shot making this movie. And going, you know, like, why does this exist? Why is this like that? But then, at about the point where he realizes he is stuck in this prison cell forever, the story took over. So it didn't matter that I had watched the movie already. It was essentially me watching the old movie, but with English people. So the story and what was going to happen was still got me excited. I still felt I'm still in love with this movie as much as the previous movie. And I realized that it might not just be the fact that it's not just love carried over from the first movie. That's not it, because there's other movies that have done this that I do not like. Even Let the Right One In.
I was thinking about that
example.
One recently.
And I went, no, this is complete. This is BS.
And you know what?
And then I remembered the thing that made me turn on this movie completely was this fool over here, Andrew. Infernal Affairs or The Departed?
The Departed.
Right. Which one did you see first?
I did see The Departed first.
Right. And that is where I realized that might be the thing that I have been using all these years to... Like, it is the one that the old boy that we love is the one that I saw first. So all the magic is in that one. But if I didn't see that movie, what about this movie would have been not good? And the answer is nothing. He made the same movie. There's things that he changed. In fact, the ending I like in this one way more than I like in the original. But most of it is the same. He made a 98% copy of the first Old Boy movie. He updated certain things that had to be updated because it's done in 2013.
I like all the technology jokes.
Yeah.
Soundhound.
It was Shazam Day.
Oh, sorry. Shazam. Quite
Shazam
right.
Shazam is the better one, people.
Sure.
Soundhound came, you know, with my phone, so. Yeah.
Someone actually had to tell me about that app.
Yeah.
Someone was like, Andrew, you know, you can just find out what song it is with this app. I'm like, what? I'm never giving up phones.
Magic?
Ever.
Magic! And after I watched the movie, I went, you know what, movie? Like, the movie ended and I felt the same way I felt every time I watched the old boy. And I went, you know what, movie? I'm going to watch the next one just to prove that you're garbage.
You mean the old one?
The old one.
Okay.
The OG old boy.
Okay.
Our Korean old boy.
Mm.
I went to watch Korean Old Boy just to prove that this is rubbish. And I watched it and I went, I remember this one was the first one, and so I'll always have a special place for that one. But dog, no, there's nothing different. Spike Lee did.
Can I tell you how happy I am to hear you talk like this? Because it's something that I've been thinking about since last night when we watched the movie, where I've been questioning whether I'm ever going to be able to talk about this movie without saying it's a remake of the Korean movie. Because as we all know, mm-hmm. you said it, we all adore
yeah.
that Korean movie.
Yeah,
right?
We lost our mind.
And I felt so much that when I was watching this movie that I was paying so close attention to the differences.
Yeah.
And there were parts where Spike Lee got me and I was lost in this movie. And there were parts where it just pulled me back because it was such an iconic moment that this movie did differently.
Mm-hmm.
And some, I would even say, worse. Right?
No, there's things about this movie are lesser than.
No, yeah. And I mean, they're really tiny bits, right? And I can point to them. Two very iconic moments that deals with the plot as well as the filmmaking between the Korean and this one. But I think if I want to start on a good note, starting talking about what I really loved about this movie, and it's fucking Josh Brolin, right? Like, when we start with the Korean movie and we see Dae-soo, right? And he's drunk. And he goes, like, it's a very quick thing. But we kind of have more time with that in this movie. And Josh Brolin just fucking sells that character as that drunk and
yeah.
just horrible person. When you're in that room with Josh Brolin, he sells those scenes.
You can smell dirtbag on him, like,
right?
through the screen. Yeah, you're a bad person, aren't you?
Even when he gets out and now he's going through his list... And he, I think there's a point where I think it's Imperioni. I can't even remember how to fucking say his name.
Chris.
The guy from Sopranos.
Chris
from
right.
Sopranos. asking him, like, why do you have these names on this list? What did they do to you? And he just says, it's not what they did to me, it's what I did to them. And just stuff like that, he sells brilliantly, and I adore him in this movie. But I still couldn't remove myself completely from the original. And all of those tiny filmmaking differences... I felt so much more than in other movies. Even with Let Me In, which I still think is obviously less than Let the Right One In. But I was able to separate myself through those. And I can't remember exactly why at this point, because I haven't seen that movie again. Yes, Let the Right One In is the better one, and I've seen that movie like a billion times.
He hated every inch of that movie.
I think maybe it's because I like Richard Jenkins and
Chloe Moretz.
No,
yeah.
not Chloe Moretz. And
who else was in
there? Guy from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Ralph Macchio?
No. Casey Jones.
Oh my
and,
god.
And Casey Jones
oh
in that
Lord.
Movie so much that I was
well
like,
done.
I like
that's incredible.
I separated myself in that case, but this one I just couldn't. And the two moments I want to focus on are... the hammer fight
hammer!
Sequence
mm-hmm.
and the final reveal, right? Not the ending,
no,
the
no,
actual
no.
reveal scene, right? And in the old movie, you had this sense of being closed in. And how Park Chan-wook did this was, even though we were in this confined space and we're watching movies in this widescreen, he pulls back further and it becomes even wider on its own. And something about seeing it like that, in this very still, calm, steady shot, one shot, it kind of adds tension to that sequence that we didn't see in this one. As I told Douglas when I finished this movie, it's obvious, and of course this is a choice, and I'm just going to go, I didn't like it as much as the
mm-hmm.
choice that they made in the Korean movie, that they wanted to make Josh Brolin Superman. Right? He walks out of the case and murders 10 children, right? When we finally get to that hammer sequence, we're a little bit closer, and he, just like in the other movie, he murders everyone, but even the sequence of events, it doesn't, in the Korean movie, it feels like it's hard for him to do. In this one, it almost doesn't seem that hard.
Yeah.
Like he's just walking through them, and it's just a case of which one he's hitting in this moment.
And you know what I didn't like about that scene, too, is there are a bunch of people with, you know, baseball bats and big boards, and they would smack him across the back, and you would see the dust fly and the board break like it was putty, and he would just keep going, like... you know, you hit him with a feather.
He's a man of the
mission.
And I mean, I like movies that do that at times, but something about having that change affected me, and I wasn't too into it. And the reveal itself was something which I felt, film-wise, was just incorrect. I'm going to even go so that far. And in that moment where Josh Brolin finds out you banged your daughter and all of these things, like, that is a moment that I feel, and I talked about it a little bit with Deliverance, that we need to linger in, right? Like, it is a fuck you moment. It is, like, even in the old movie, like, I don't even remember what was happening on the screen the first time I was watching that movie when it happened, when they told us, because my brain just went so far in insanity and twists in movies that my own thought process went to dark places, right? And in this movie, when the reveal happens, we only get like half a second of just watching Josh Brolin react to this moment, to which we get a cut and a pullback all the way in the sky of the room. And it's like, are we not supposed to be thinking about how horrible this moment is and what a... Like,
we're
it's...
not.
And it just felt... It felt contrived to what was happening in the story, right? And I... Oh, and it, like you, when you were talking about separating these things, I almost want to imagine how I would feel about this movie if the original didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying this movie is a bad movie, because it has all of the beats. And... plus 1 point to Spike Lee for all the tech jokes, because I think that's funny, right? Every time someone says, but you have the internet now.
you just type in the name into the thing.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
He's like, where's the phone books? No, you have the internet now. Couldn't stop
where
laughing.
All the phone books? I need a yellow page. What?
I loved it, but it's a tough sell, right?
Yeah.
And I was going to watch this movie. I want to also say on a side note something I know a lot of people were complaining about with this movie. Charlton Copley.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, I didn't hate that. I found his accent kind of crazy and kind of weird, but aren't all of his accents? And
Charlton Copley was fine.
No,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
In this movie.
Yeah, most
people
think that he's horrendous.
People were piling on
this
him in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but no, I agree, and clearly, Spike Lee wanted him to look, you know, iconic, look weird, because even whenever he closes,
he's a guy
he doesn't
Hunger
close
Games.
Up exactly
yes.
on his face. It looks like you're in a comic book, you know. His eyes are bulging out, and his skin is
like
extremely white, and he's clearly one of those like. Cartoonish characters.
He's the game master.
He's a cartoon villain.
Yeah, yeah. But either way, like I agree with you, Andrew. I don't, and it's hard for me to say whether I liked it, whether I disliked it, because I honestly cannot separate this from the old movie. As I was watching it, I kept thinking, "This isn't like the old movie,"
no.
Or "Oh, this is just like the old movie, but lesser," or something like that. You know. And the sad thing about it is, at the end of the movie, I sat down and I tried to say, "Okay. Can I separate the two?" And I realized that I've watched... No, it's even worse than that, right? At least you guys can be like, I can point to this from the old movie, I can point to that from the old movie. I watched the old movie quite a while back. I honestly sit down and I try and remember. I don't really remember
that
movie.
I haven't watched the old movie in a long while.
A lot. I don't...
You're both bad people.
So I don't remember exactly what happens in the old movie. For instance, Andrew was telling me just... a few minutes ago about a hypnosis, and I'm like, I don't remember any hypnosis going on in there. That doesn't make any sense. Why would I think that would be good in a movie? But apparently I did, because I love Old Boy. But it's just weird, and I don't know, right? I look at this movie and I'm like, I feel about this movie the way I felt about Let Me In after watching that. That's the American version of Let the Right One In. And like, there were certain parts in this movie where I just felt kind of let down. I felt disappointed. One of those was, you spoke about it, the hammer scene, when he would pull out, and I just never felt... The problem with this movie for me was I never felt like I was in the movie. Luckily for you, you felt it, but I think I just kept thinking too much about the old one, about the original, right? It was always... I always, for some reason, had to try and compare it. It never... took me and said, you know, just fuck the whole movie and just be here, right? And it was, I think for me, it was highlighted in the Hammer scene when I could see details like the dust flying whenever he got hit in the back. And I was like, that looks like cheap board that wouldn't really hurt, as opposed to, oh my god, he got hit with a baseball bat. How is he going on? I never thought of it that way. A lot of the time when I was watching the movie, and Andrew might be upset at me for this, but I was like making jokes. I was like, fuck this movie. This guy's a Superman. Like, you know, and it, that definitely brought down the movie for me. And I kind of feel like, probably, if this was the first movie, as you said, I probably would have loved it, because it kind of, it plays everything essentially the same. It has all of the kind of right elements. And if you try and look at it as its own being, you know, it kind of holds up. It's not ugly. There are some genuine pieces of good acting in there, you know, plus one for Josh Brolin. You have my favorite lady now, Miss Liz Olsen. And it, you
is
know,
she Martha or Marlene
or Marcy, yeah, whatever.
so long time figure out
exactly. That's true. So I mean, it has a lot of pluses, a lot of positives going for it. I think really the biggest negative, which I don't. Unless I watch the old movie and then watch this again, I don't think. I think the biggest negative for it is the fact that it is a remake, and not just that it's a remake, but it stayed so spot on to the original. You know, I you know what's interesting is, I think the main difference, at least that I could tell, because again I don't remember everything, actually made even more sense than what was in the original. So. Let's talk about the hypnosis, right? Apparently, in the last scene, he was the father was hypnotized so that, you know, he would no longer remember what naughtiness he got on with,
so but, that he could do it again.
Exactly, and there were also, you know, other times where he was hypnotized to do certain things in the middle of the movie, and you know, Spike Lee took that out because guess what, guys? Hypnotism is fucking crazy.
Yeah,
or
it's real dumb.
Yeah. For me to believe that a whole storyline, a whole series of events can be underpinned by something that I think is more of a parlor trick, that maybe can work on small idiosyncrasies rather than actual like ingrained human behavior. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
But either way, he took that out and he added this thing where, guess what, guys? The enemy is filthy rich and is vindictive and is holding a really bad grudge. So guess what? He is willing to shell out all of his money for things like a television series.
And you know what's the weird part about that? I remember when I saw that in the trailer and I thought that was I took it as what the movie's trying to do.
Yeah.
Which is, in the trailer, you only saw like the old footage, the part like closer to the end of his captivity, and I understood it to be, all right, so America is taking out the whole in tricking you to bang your daughter bit, because that's one step too far for America.
Yeah, I thought they were going to have
right?
it.
But when I saw it in the movie and they showed you 5 years in and 20 years in, I immediately understood that they weren't going to do it, because there's no show like that that lasts on air for 20 years.
No, that's not
and
true.
Looks the same.
Oh, okay.
Same graphics and everything. Because
they still have, what's it called? Mysteries or something like that.
Is still on TV. Until the end of time.
But no, even a TV show exactly like that, where they talk about, you know, Unsolved
Mysteries,
that's what it's called.
Yeah,
it's been around for like 50 years.
When dinosaurs come back, it will still be on TV.
I'm going to call that the hypnotism of this podcast, because since I haven't seen it on television, because I don't watch cable, right? And I am going to imagine that it's the exact same as it was in the 80s.
Dog, you're the source.
And
like
you're going to tell me that? and I'm going to tell you you're playing with me. Yeah. You're lying to me, like as if you told me that you were hypnotized.
But no, we have Google.
Right, yeah.
You have the internet.
You mean like...
yeah, you have the internet.
But like, you see, the thing is, that makes way more sense than hypnotizing him. And in a sense, it is hypnotizing him. It's,
yeah, you believe
it's
what
he's brainwashing. Exactly, it's getting him to believe a certain thing.
Yeah.
He believes now that his daughter looks like that woman on the screen. He believes that his daughter is in... I don't know, wherever they say, if they do say that she is there, you know? And so he is now able to, with a clear conscience, look at this new lady and be like, you're just somebody that's helping me to do my job, right? And you know, that makes so much more sense than hypnotizing somebody. And so you look at things like that and you're like, okay, logically, I should like this movie, but... I feel dirty. I don't feel and like so I ever liked this movie when I was watching it.
When this movie ended, I watched the old one and then I stopped for a second and I said, alright Damon, you've done this with a couple of movies. You've done the reverse where you've seen the new one first and saw the original and said, like Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I saw the original one first. The good one first.
And then I saw...
You're saying your Fincher is a good one.
Fincher is a good one.
Yeah,
I saw the good one
good
first.
One. Yeah.
And then I saw the original.
The Swedish.
This is garbage.
Well, no. But to be fair, I will tell you this one. I did it the opposite.
I did it the opposite.
Yeah,
too.
I watched the Nordic,
Nine
whatever it is first.
Fincher
and
is
then
better.
I watched Fincher.
Right.
Fincher is way better.
And everybody kind of agreed that
yeah.
Fincher was the better one. So
mm-hmm.
I didn't feel kind of... let down or anything. And of course Andrew and The Departed, right? I like In Front of for Fierce, and while I accept that The Departed was a good movie,
mm-hmm.
it pales in comparison to In Front of Fierce.
It's now, a masterpiece.
No. The only reason
you must
I think that
to The Departed.
The only reason I think that is because I saw that one first.
Because I saw
there's literally movie. Nothing like The Departed is terrific. And I accepted that a long time ago. I just refuse to accept that it is better. And that is the... It is the better that I spent a long time thinking about. I'm like, what is better though? Like, it's not a tangible thing. It is better subjective. I think that this is better because of whatever. But the flip side of something being better is that the other thing must be lesser than... And the lesser than is where I bring the hammer down. It is, alright, Let Me In is just hot garbage because Let the Right One. I have never, and I need to go back and watch Let Me In. Because I've never watched that movie based on its merit. I didn't
care. It's a good movie.
Yeah, it's
not
just,
to me, it
it's,
wasn't.
It's lesser.
It's lesser.
It's
think,
a good movie.
And when reading, like, the thing that I heard about this old boy going in was that it was on fire.
Yes.
I thought it was going to be
yeah.
like it was going to be
yeah.
a train
yeah.
that ran into another train. and Sam Jackson would be riding on top of the train like a pirate outfit. Like, what on earth is happening here? Only to watch the movie and go, no guys, this is like
you like
if
Superman,
I were able right. There's things that I can look if I put them side by side, I go, well, the hammer scene isn't as awesome, right? There's a something that they got right in the Korean one that is kind of lesser than here. And that's kind of it. Like, everything else is the same movie. And I don't know what it was that at the end of the movie I went, no, Damien, there's, like, the movie is... It is just the movie you love in English.
So I want to play an experiment with this movie. I want to find like a 15-year-old who
Let's
went
not,
to this movie.
You shouldn't find 15-year-olds. Andrew Robbins, you're a grown man. Please tell me you're not talking to 15-year-olds on the internet.
No.
There's TV shows dedicated to this.
who saw this movie and likes this movie for what it is. And then like, you know, just show them the Korean one. And see what they decide. What do they pick?
And like, I realize that, like, it is coming. The day is coming for all of our movies. Nothing is safe, right?
Like all my favorite movies, there will come a day.
Annie Hall?
They're going to come a day when someone is going to look and go, it is time.
They can't remake Almost Famous, right?
They're going to remake like everything you know and love, everything you hold dear in life.
Not E.T. Dear God, not
please,
E.T.
Please God remake E.T. so that they can make one I can watch. Fuck that movie. I started thinking, I'm like, when they come for The Matrix, I'm going to, like, I have two options. I can be upset and never watch it, just on principle, which is ridiculous. What if it is awesome? Like, it will still, on some level, it will still be The Matrix. Right? As long as they get certain things right, even when they change it, I shouldn't go, you know what? I saw this in 1999, so everything post this is garbage. That, like, it seems kind of dumb to hang on to something like that. And so now there's a couple of movies that I need to rewatch, so that I can kind of test whether or not I'm finally able to look past essentially snobbery. Like, we're just being we're being jerks about it. Like, I wasn't going to give this movie a chance because the movie exists. Like, that's ridiculous. That's a ridiculous thing to do.
But isn't everything we talk about movies based on, like, our own biases going into the movie?
Yeah, but think about, like, a bias that a thing already exists is a, like, that is a shitty bias.
Yes, and it's something that I admit to when I'm not going to talk about this movie.
I am not going to watch this movie because of the director. That is a thing that I can go, well, I've watched all this shit, or I've watched enough for me to know that this is going to be garbage. But to not watch something because it exists, right? It is a remake of something that you've seen before. It feels like the people who go, you know what, a lot of the Rings movies aren't good because you can't make a movie of, like, there's people who to this day haven't watched any of the Lord of the Rings movies because they're movies and it can't be as good as the books. Who gives a shit? What? This is ridiculous. And that is essentially what I was doing. I'm like, I'm not going to watch Old Boy because I've seen Old Boy. I've seen the good one.
But then here lies my question, right? For movies like Stories, for example, Wuthering Heights, mm-hmm. and Anna Karenina, where there have literally been like 5 or 6 versions, or we can even talk Romeo and Juliet,
mm-hmm.
right? There have been 5, 6, 10 versions of those movies, and they're remade every decade. We're still willing to go into those happily.
But that's because we weren't there first. That is the key difference. You'll watch King Kong because they're going to make King Kong and Godzilla over and over and over. But if the Godzilla in 1990 was the first one, I'd have gone, you know, this new Godzilla? No. It is because I know that there were Godzillas before and I've actually gone back and watched those. I can go, yeah, of course, like James Bond. Of course, they're making more James Bond. And with those movies, it is understood that this is just a story that people are interpreting. It is not, like, nobody is going into Romeo and Juliet and going, I'm going to do a shot-for-shot remake of the last Romeo and Juliet movie. No, they're like, I'm going to take the story and I'm going to do something new with the story.
I'm going to do a shot-for-shot remake of West Side Story.
Yeah, when, like, when they come, like, it's like Batman and those big franchises where it is just understood that.
Well, I wasn't even going to go there because those are even more clear as to where they do the differential.
And the reason I brought up that one was when the last Spider-Man movie came out, everybody's like, he took the first movie and he painted on Garfield's face onto Tobey Maguire and went, go.
Some more graffiti on the walls.
This is good enough. And they let it go. Yeah.
But even with that one, I can see the differential in those movies and I'm happy with it.
And I go, why is it that I don't feel hot hatred for those, but I do with these? And it's because I love these movies and I was first to do these movies, and I'm being a snob about it. That is the thing. That is the only thing that's preventing
Damian,
me from enjoying
Damian,
other movies. And it has to stop.
Essentially, you're the guy that knew about the band before they were famous, right? And then, now that they've got famous, you're like, fuck that band!
This band sounds like that band, but it's not the original. I have it on vinyl from 1408, before vinyl existed. I'm playing it on a wood-wicked turntable from Michelangelo. I'm like, guys, just stop. Let's not be dicks about this. It's just movies. And it's an hour and a half. Oh, it's not as good as the first Old Boy? Really? Are you sure about that? Because I watched them back-to-back. They're shitting the old one. That's really dumb. Really dumb. But I still love that movie.
All right.
When someone says, Damien, you know, there's a trilogy of Korean movies that you love.
We're going to remake all of them.
We did one.
what are you going to
we're
do?
We're coming for the other
Lady
two.
Vengeance?
I'm going to jump up and if it is people that I respect, I'm going to jump for joy, in hopes that because now I can hand Old Boy to people because I know people who won't watch shit with subtitles. It is never the day will never happen. I can hand them Old Boy and go, yo, dog, watch this. And then they'll come back to me and go, that is the most fucked up movie of all. And I go, you are incorrect. They've made worse movies. This is merely the tip of the Korean iceberg. And I'll just wait until they make more and more of them in English. And then when he's finished, I'll hand him Stoker and go, now your life is complete. Have you heard about a man called Lars? No.
I think we should all dive into like Todd Solondz's version of sadness and see what happens.
Just ruin people with Korean movies. But I love this one. I love it as much as the first one. At this point there's no real separation. There's the one with subtitles and there's the one in English. And I love both. They're both my children. I love both of them the same. Except I saw one first. And if someone asked me which one to watch, I'm going to tell them to watch the Korean one because it was first.
So moving on into questions.
Yay.
Last week, seeing the box office failure of Winter's Tale, I was curious to ask people, with everyone lighting that movie a fire, given that it was so bad, taking the fantasy romance genre, what would you recommend to people who wanted something and just didn't get it in Winter's Tale? What's a film you'd recommend to them? And the internet responded.
As they always do.
Anna Long responded with The Fountain, a favorite of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I know. It's coming out on Wednesday.
Yay!
Poor. Rand McNeil over at The Matinee brought us The Princess Bride, which is one that's been mentioned a lot. You continue talking about me and Damien are holding a conversation. Bubba Wheat from Flight Types movie brought up The Princess Bride as well. Jules Selejos, I don't know how to pronounce his name, my apologies.
Because you're racist.
Because brought up The Princess Bride as well.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Runyon said, and I quote, "The Fountain, The Fountain, The Fountain, The Fountain." I really like The Fountain, you guys. Fountain.
You're in good company. With the exception of one person who has seen the movie once and refuses
fuck
to watch
movie.
It again.
Charlotte
on
Thomas
principle, I guess.
Brought up a movie that the one who hates The Fountain would like, Stardust.
Stardust!
Love that movie.
Like Stardust.
I know, but specifically I want to make him happy.
Okay.
Yes.
But my favorite response Comes from Andrew Parker from
With the Fountain.
Dorkshire.
Congratulations, The Fountain.
Who said literally anything with the exception of life or something like it or simply irresistible, you can't get much lower. Do you guys remember Simply Irresistible?
I don't know.
It's a 90s movie with Sarah Michelle Gellar, which involved a crab that was a chef.
I did not watch that movie.
You guys are making shit up, aren't you?
For that.
No, that is a lie.
Quote from IMDb: a magical crab works wonders for a terrible chef's culinary skills, leading her toward the man of her dreams.
That is a fake website that you've created, you and him. You guys want me to go out in public and ask people? I said to people, you know, there's a movie with Sarah Michelle Gellar and a crab. It's a love story.
And Sean Patrick Flannery.
Check the website again. You sure he didn't just create it?
Right.
It's like D-I-M-B. It's like dim.com.
Yeah, that is... Like, he's not actually interacting with the site.
It's
a
local host.
It could just be a cut and paste.
That's a local host,
yeah,
right?
It's a cut and paste job. You can't trick anybody. Nice try, guys. I don't believe you.
But anyways, I've been seeing on the internet recently a lot of people who I now hate are having seen the Grand Budapest Hotel. And with that, I'm curious to ask, Wes Anderson being this beloved filmmaker that a lot of people are into, not what your favorite film of his is, but who's your favorite Wes Anderson character? Because if there's anyone who makes like such a plethora of characters to enjoy, it's Wes Anderson.
That's a good question. Wow. My favorite Wes Anderson.
I typed in Wes Anderson, there's a picture of Kanye that came up, so I'm going to say Kanye West.
Okay. I mean,
Kanye West is my favorite Wes Anderson character. Can I say that?
Hold on.
Is that it? He's there. It's not a joke.
Okay, I thought for a second it wasn't Kanye because there was like a whole beard thing going. And
not a joke.
This is something that I'm going to have to really think about, but probably because
Mr.
this
Fox
is the most recent visual I've seen, but Steve Zissou. I love Steve Zissou. But no, this is something that requires some serious thought.
It would require, if I had to give an answer, because I haven't even given it much thought, but if I had to give an answer now, I would probably go with Max Fisher from Rushmore.
I'd go with Mr. Fox, because that is when I turned the corner on.
Not Mrs. Fox?
Very many times.
No,
I thought
Mrs.
you would go for Meryl Streep.
I love Meryl Streep, but she has enough. She's got enough.
I just love that bit in the movie they keep doing.
She, yeah, they always wave the hands. Yes.
On to our top five this week. And as Damien said, how did you put it for us to do
top
our top five?
Five movies you will never watch.
No. Top five movies you refuse to watch.
You refuse. Same difference.
And like many top five lists like this, I had no idea of where to start. But I decided to play this in a special way, and I hope you guys will catch along as we go forward down this list.
Already,
I'm going to kick it off. And this is in... While this is not a definitive list of movies I refuse to watch, within the order of the films, they are going ranking from least refusal to most refusal.
Oh, of course. It has to.
Right?
Yeah.
And my number five...
Does it have to?
Yes, it does.
My number five goes to 47 Ronin, which is the latest film starring Keanu Reeves, in which he fights a dragon that's played by Rinko Kikuchi.
Mm-hmm.
Or something of the sort. I don't know. I haven't watched it.
Wow.
Damien?
My list could just be dominated by one person.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck.
Yeah. You're an idiot.
Yep. So it sounds like you're about to take my number five.
I'm just going to... We don't like Madea on this podcast. It's been said many a time.
Wait, Damien, can we just... like combine
right.
and just
let our powers combine.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, because so myself and Damien are we have a joint number five.
Okay. If Matt Dale, like I was going to extend it to Tyler Perry as a whole, but he shows up in movies at random. Like he was in Star Trek for no reason.
I've only seen one,
but I think that's the only movie that he is in that I have ever watched.
Right. So, but I'm not speaking about Tyler Perry on a whole,
mm-hmm.
right? His Madea characters show up in, let's say, 99% of his movies.
Yeah.
And I have seen one a long time ago and hated it because it was garbage.
Yeah, of course.
And based on that, I have decided, because all the rest of them is that same character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's people that think it is funny. And there's people that think that because he's black and I am black, that for some reason I'm supposed to support him in his garbage, which I do not.
Yeah.
Because he's, more importantly, he's terrible.
Terrible.
That character is bad. It is racist, that mm-hmm. character is what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will never, ever, ever,
ever,
ever,
ever.
Like,
ever.
If it comes down to this or never watching movies again, I will give up movies in a second.
100%. And I will take it even further. I want to go to the Tyler Perry extent. Anytime I see Tyler Perry presents, I'm done.
You
right?
saw Precious.
You forced me to go to that movie.
I have not. Still not seen it.
But
it looked bad.
You know, it did look bad. And it was bad.
It won a few awards, though.
It's not
yeah.
bad.
Andrew,
I hear Oprah liked it.
Of course she did.
Who gives
because,
a shit?
Again, you know.
She also likes the book,
you know,
that is on fire.
Oh, yeah.
So bad.
And that's the thing, right?
The next
all of his movies.
Well, you'll be watching it by yourself.
Yep, you'll be talking about it by yourself.
Good luck with that.
And, you know, all of his movies are that thing. It's that thing that, guess what? I'm black, therefore all black people
yeah,
must
black
like
people
it.
Must like
and it. He even went, there's a movie recently, I heard about this. I think I saw 5 seconds on television and I was like, oh, fuck, I'm changing channel. Mm-hmm. Where he does this thing and everybody does it, right? It was a movie, but guess what? Lots of black people.
Of course it was.
And there's this one white guy. And
of course there is.
That one white guy somehow conned one of the black women into liking him
mm-hmm.
and being in a relationship, and the world exploded.
Yep.
All the black people were like, oh, how can you have, you know,
oh,
relations
dear.
With this
mm-hmm.
white man who did it? And that is, you know, on top of the fact that his movies just aren't good. This is yet another reason why I'm done. I'm not watching movies
you
where
guys
they're
just
promoting
don't
this kind of garbage.
You don't
right?
understand what it is like to be white. Oh wait, to be black. Oh wait, I mean.
No, the truth is, honestly, I don't think any of us understand what it is to be black in the States, especially 10 and 20 years ago when these people would have been born and grew up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there is something to this sort of
we do know what
mentality
it is like
that they
in
have, but
2014,
it's wow.
We know what it's like now, and it's not what they're putting on
I,
the
TV. I don't
yep.
know, but it's I cannot, I will not watch movies
subject
that promote
to
that kind of shit. You know, let's have a big fence between all people with the, you know, black skin and white skin. No, thank you. Goodbye.
I generally only go for the green skin. You know.
But you've been racist for a good long time.
I've been eyeing Kermit for a while.
Everything starts to make sense now.
There's a reason I really like that movie.
Yeah, no. Show me on the doll where Kermit touched you.
Anyways, moving down to my number four. It is Escape Plan.
Holy shit.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh my.
Because guys, I love the 90s but for its own much. Special reasons. But not yeah. enough to for it to be made today.
Holy but hold shit. On. This is the same guy. This is coming from the guy
mm-hmm.
who sung the praises mm-hmm. of one... What's it called? The Last Stand?
Last Stand
right.
Yeah.
And I went into that movie kicking and screaming. And it was because I was like, that's the only movie that came out this weekend. You know, let me give it a shot. Right?
By the way, thumbs up or thumbs down, Tango and Cash.
I love Tango and Cash.
What are you talking
I
about?
Adore Tango
know,
and Cash.
I know.
Is that like a real question that they ask the humans?
Once again, I adore the 90s.
But that's not like a
I don't need it to be made in 2014.
Alright, fair enough.
We should appreciate the 90s for what it is, remember the time that it was, but we don't need to be making it anymore today.
What are the Matrix? Oh my goodness. Alright, so Damien, what is your next refusal?
Right. It is sad that it has finally come to this. I love Steve Harvey as a stand-up comedian. I've loved him for years.
So you refuse to watch Kings of Comedy?
No. But then one day he woke up and found Jesus. And he's been writing books and producing movies. Movies like...
Think Like a
Think
Man.
Think Like a Man. No, guys.
Is this going to be primarily black movies about black relationships and sadly white man movies?
Sadly, no. Although I could make that list. Probably should make that list. But that's not it. Think Like a Man has a sequel coming out. Think Like a Man 2. Of course. And not only am I not going to watch it, or the first one, I'm going to do everything in my power to ensure that the people I love in my house never see this movie. Now, I have gone to varying lengths to ensure that the people in my house don't watch shitty movies. Because they want to watch them. Because they're bad people. And I've had to lie through my teeth and go, it's just not out yet. It's not, I can't find it.
It's not
it
the DVD
exist.
Store. Every time I ask them, they say they won't give it to me.
I had to, at one point, switch the router from the US to Jamaican so that Netflix wouldn't show. Because she came home, and I turned on Netflix, and I saw Add to List, and I saw this terrible movie. And I went, no. And so I flipped it to see if it would show up, and it didn't. And I went, good, it's staying on. Just long enough so that she doesn't remember. And then I'll switch it back. Because I'm not having any of this.
Nice.
And so I think like I don't care. I don't know. Mm-mm.
Okay.
I know better, and it's never going to happen.
Yep. So my number four is... kind of on a... this is clearly a subconscious level. Actually, it's conscious as well. But it's a bit of both. Because I keep flip-flopping in between. Maybe I should. Because these guys, they love it so much. But then I'm like, fuck him.
Mm-hmm.
Guillermo del Toro
mm-hmm.
is a flaming,
mm-hmm.
stinking load of trash. Right? And I have watched almost all of his movies. I have also hated almost... all of his movies. There is one though that universally people just they're just like, this is the greatest movie
I'll make
ever.
You watch it soon, don't worry.
It's called Pan's Labyrinth.
Yes.
And guess what, guys? No matter what I say, it is clear that on a subconscious level I refuse to watch this movie. Because I have never seen it. I don't really have any I don't need to see it. And you know, if once I see the man's name on anything, I'm like, oh, done, no, that's it. So Pan's Labyrinth, guys, number four.
So my number three is a tie.
Mm-hmm.
It is a tie between two very popular teen novels that were made into movies. This is called The Host and the Mortal Instruments.
But why?
You mean this is the Douglas list? That's what you're doing.
But why?
You finally caught on.
There have been so many.
I've seen those trailers. Like, I mean, I humor Twilight. Like, it got to a point where I started to laugh at the movie.
That was great.
But those movies just look like... It looks like what is it Fox? I can't even remember. Oh no, what we're doing with the Narnia books after Harry Potter. They were like, Harry Potter's going to run out. We need something else. Narnia. And, like, Narnia, as far as I'm concerned, is shit. Right? All of those movies are pretty horrendous.
And Liam Neeson is Aslan.
Roar.
He is.
And it's exactly what they were doing.
He's
here.
Lying on Jesus.
Twilight was running out. And they're like, we need to find the next one now before we run out of ideas because they have none to begin with.
Mm.
Books, now, throw at the wall. And those were the two that came up last year.
But they're so good, though. Oh, wait, no.
I refuse to watch them.
Alright. My next, like Andrew, is a 7-way tie. Saw 2, Saw 3, Saw 4, Saw 5, Saw 6, and Saw 3D.
I like the first one. I've only watched the first one. The first one
was horrendous, Andrew. It was horrible.
Sure it was.
It was bad.
Mm-hmm.
It was... Can I stop trying to find words that
just
rhyme
stop, right.
and mean the same
just
thing?
Just get off thesaurus.
You can say
get
good.
Get off thesaurus, look up bad. And then everything that is under bad.
Yeah. Because I have watched that movie, and oh my god.
No, I don't like horror movies, because I'm scared. Let's just go.
Yes, you are. Because
uh-huh.
You're a scaredy puss.
Or, as someone told me, I'm afraid to be afraid.
Yes, you are.
Alright, dog. If that makes you feel better, sure. It's not because they're
shit
movies.
You don't believe in ghosts, that's why.
A grown-ass man, that's why.
In the paranormal.
So yeah, no, it's never going to happen. Even when I went back and watched Paranormal Activities and some other terrible, like, wreck, to kind of prove to myself that maybe there's something here in horror.
You're
Saw
like
was the one.
Your next was a good one. Your next?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I like that one.
Sure.
I like that one.
Sure. So yeah, Saw in all its facets is a giant no.
Okay. So, okay. We have now gotten to the part of the list where I have to do a little bit of explaining.
Mm-hmm.
So, my list.
I thought she was 18.
Actually, it's very similar. You've hit the nail on the head, sir. So, the rest of my list now, I have entitled the top five, well, really the top three movies I refuse to watch again. Right? So.
You're such an idiot.
So.
Idiot.
As you said, Damien, I thought. She said she was 18.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what vitamins they're giving them these days, but the dimensions were right. Everything was where it should be. Then all of a sudden, the cops just came in and fuck. So the first movie on my list, or the number three on my refuse list, is one. it's sad because it's two big things. One, it's a really bad movie, but two, I should have known. And I think this is probably where the rule started. So guys, there is a law, and that law, it's called the Jude Law.
Yes, it is.
It is.
I think we should get like a sound effect for whenever he says that.
Yeah.
Like you know,
like
the gavel comes
yeah.
down. Or one of those old 90s law shows.
You could use the Law and Order thing, you know? But so yeah. Jude Law, he's a robot. And
Jesus
Christ. Thank you. So artificial intelligence can go suck a dick.
Jesus,
that movie is
Christ.
So bad.
I've been meaning to rewatch that
and
movie for a while.
I refuse to watch that movie ever again. Ever.
Spielberg did that.
Ever.
Right?
Yes, he did.
I think that is where
Spielberg
I lost
did that.
Every
and,
ounce of
and you
respect
know what?
For that man.
You know what? It's even worse
I used to
because,
love Steven Spielberg at some point.
Damien,
that is what made me realize he was fallible.
But it's bad. Because if it was just Spielberg, it would be bad and not so bad. But this is Spielberg trying to keep the legacy of one of the greatest directors in the world, Stanley Kubrick. Stanley Kubrick was supposed to do this movie. He had his notes. He and Spielberg kind of coordinated, and then Kubrick died of a heart attack or whatever.
Yeah, because
he
realized, holy shit, I'm going to be alive when this shit drops. Yeah. Nope, I'm out.
And then Spielberg is like, I must make his movie, and it was disgusting. Oh my god. So yeah, AI number three.
Fuck that movie.
Jesus Christ.
So my number two is another tie.
Mm-hmm.
A tie of sequels.
Okay, let's
a tie
see.
Of unnecessary it? Sequels. And it is The Smurfs 2 and Grown Ups 2. Because when we talk about people making indulgent movies that no one needs to see, Smurfs 2 and Grown Ups 2 come up top on my list.
Oh my goodness.
They're so good.
I've even told you guys, I almost accidentally got to see Grown Ups 2. I went into the wrong theater when I was going to watch Where the Millers, and boom, Grown Ups 2 came up. I ran for the hills.
Yes. Guys, you can keep my money. Nope.
What's sad is he likes movies like We Are the Millers.
I like We Are
like
the
Millers.
Heat.
I like
The
Heat. Because you are all crazy.
Yeah.
Those movies
not
are
crazy
bad.
Enough to watch your two shitty movies.
Well,
you lost your mind.
To be fair, I didn't like... Well, I didn't watch The Smurfs and I didn't like Grown Ups 2. But...
yeah. Grown Ups 1 was such... I mean, I had hope after
Grown Ups
1.
Actually, didn't mind Grown Ups 1.
I've never watched any of them. Are you crazy? I'll never watch The Smurfs, Smurfs 2, Grown Ups 1 or 2. Because... I'm not an idiot.
I'm happy Adam Sandler is a happy individual who can now do whatever the fuck he wants as work and, like, be a really nice person. But Grown Ups 2, no.
Alright. It's my turn. My number two, again, a four-way tie. In 2001, My Best Friend. In 2005, Kenetta. In 2013, Venice 70 Future Reloaded. And in some future date yet to be announced, Lobster.
I have no clue what you're talking
about. You're goddamn right you don't, but you will soon. There is a director what has given us two pieces of brilliance.
Lobster sounds so
familiar. Oh my god.
Dogtooth and the Alps.
Oh.
In 2001 and 2005, he made movies. Last year, he made a movie, and there will be a future movie called Lobster. Guess what?
And you know what's funny? Andrew tried. Andrew, well, no, I think I gave us Dogtooth. Mm-hmm. And then even after Dogtooth, Andrew's like, no, I'm going to try with the Alps. And he gave us that
yep.
to watch.
And so,
all right,
he
so,
can keep making movies, that's fine.
So guess what, Andrew? I'm going in for you this time. And you know what? I'm just going to say from now, fuck this movie. I will never. I actually still haven't finished watching this
FTM.
Movie. I have like 15 minutes left. I'm not going to watch it. You know why? Because it goes by the name of Upstream Color. Fuck this movie, Andrew. Andrew. And you know what makes me even...
Great.
You know what makes me sad? Is I recently found out. This is the sophomore. This is the second movie from the director of Primal.
That's the thing that made us excited for it.
No, I never knew that. I just saw Upstream Color. I saw Craziness and I was like, all right.
We
because you know that's
trailer,
what I am.
And we were like, Primal 2.
Well, maybe I just forgot. But like, what the crap? Andrew, pigs. Andrew, like... Umbilical cords around your ankle. Fuck this movie, Andrew.
So good.
Fuck it.
So my number one is a film that I'm going to say on this podcast, fuck that movie, and I'm never watching it until I end up watching it. And the movie goes by the name of Transformers 4, Age of Extinction.
That's fine.
Because... Fuck
listen, Dinobots. Listen, I'm so happy because you won't watch it. Hopefully, Damian won't watch it. I'll just give it a
what
4.
What are you
talking?
There's a robot dinosaur. I didn't know. Have you seen the trailer? There's a robot dinosaur.
I could have spread out Grown Ups 2 and Smurfs 2 between the last two. But no, Transformers needed a special spot on this list because Michael Bay has burnt that bridge.
I remember thinking Transformers 3 was
it
you
is
know,
garbage. Like,
garbage,
yeah.
But it was fun garbage.
Listen to me. There's a robot dinosaur. A robot T-Rex bit through a sign. And so, yeah, I'm going to watch that. Because, of course.
You like big shit.
Dog. That is, like, that it should just be called Summer Action Movie. Yeah, I know what that is. and I'm going to watch it.
Guys, why are there more Transformer movies? And I know the answer to that question, but why is that a reason? I want there to be a vetting team that goes, yeah,
money,
but
money, money,
but there's
money.
But people are going to hate us for this existence.
Shit, we can never actually release this podcast because they're gonna fucking take us down. We just used copyrighted material.
We didn't pay the royalties.
My number one thing, man.
No, there's a lot of movies that have been brought up here that could end up on my list. Probably should end up on my list.
By the way, fuck you, Douglas. That was the title of my list.
Fair enough. I was going to steal from Andrew's idea and put the one movie that I've seen already that I'll never ever watch under any circumstance. But we already brought that up. It's AI. And it is a dog. Let's be serious.
Yeah.
And so, I am now going to bring up a movie that I have tried several times to watch. It's not a good movie, so it's, and I've never actually gotten it done. It has gotten to the point where I've watched enough wrap-ups of the movie that I know what happened. And there's part of me that still wants to see it, but knows that it's never going to happen. And that movie is the Super Mario Brothers movie. Now, guys.
Damien! Oh, I love that movie!
Holy shit!
That movie is so ridiculous!
I've tried! Oh, like, even as a child, I wasn't able to watch all of that movie.
Did you ever see Yoshi? Did you get to that point where you got to
see Yoshi? I've seen all of the things why that movie is probably the worst movie of all time.
It's the worst movie.
You know what I love?
And there's people who have rewatched the movie and like do running commentary. Like, cut down the movie to like 15-20 minutes and just do running commentary and just how ridiculous the movie is. And I've sat in my adult life and said, I need to see this. I've seen Biodome. It can't be. I've seen The Room. I've been through worse than this. And then I started playing and just go,
You know, it's my favorite thing.
This is incredible.
And it's something that I kind of annoys me when it comes to marketing, but I understand what marketing is and fuck it. But it has to do with interviews, actors, directors doing interviews for their movies, promoting their movies, where they will say all these glorious things about it. Go back into the YouTubes. The YouTubes. And I found interviews of like Dennis Hopper talking about this movie and saying such wonderful things for it. And I'm like, I wonder how hard it was for them to do this.
He's an actor. He's paid to lie all the time. It's just another actor he's putting on.
We've seen it with a lot of actors where like 10 years later they're fine with coming up saying, yeah, that one was bad.
Damn it.
But I still found it entertaining to go back and look at those interviews and be like, you guys are lying to me all the while.
Yeah, man. I can't believe a word. Douglas Robinson. Let's close out the podcast.
On a high.
So,
we've all made terrible decisions.
I think
number one is the fountain.
Oh. You can't do that because it would be the last podcast. First, we'd edit it out of the podcast and he'd be dead. So, what would he gain by doing that?
So, my movie, my number one movie is a bit of a religious movie.
Passion of the Christ?
It's similar. It's similar. There's a lot of passion. There's
Is there an Antichrist?
No, there is no Antichrist. Well, maybe. Maybe.
Alright. I have places to go. Let's wrap this up.
And I think it's rather apt that Andrew's list is entitled Fuck You, Douglas, because I guess especially with the last movie and now this movie, this list is definitely Fuck You, Andrew. we're having a tit for tat here.
You guys,
Andrew,
are good friends, I can see.
My number one movie that I refuse to watch again. Fucking Blues Brothers. Fuck that movie. Mission from God, my backside. That movie is just not funny. It's there are no redeeming factors ever. So much so that I don't really write things about movies. I decided I needed to write. It's probably still on his website. You can go. I actually wrote bad things about this movie because I'm a moron. But yeah, Andrew, fuck this movie.
I'm going to send you to the Penguin unless you take that up with her.
Oh my goodness.
But at that note, we have to say goodnight. As always, you can hear the podcast in a very fast fashion, like right now, over at gmanreviews.com or through iTunes and Stitcher. Feel free to go over there, rate, subscribe, and review the show. Douglas, he's on Twitter. He's DJ, I lost his name. You can also find where he's not writing over at the Decaffeination Report. Damien, he is Damien_White on Twitter, where he is not tweeting unless I annoy him.
Yes.
And I am at G-Man Reviews, where I can't stop tweeting because I am a poor individual and probably very antisocial. So thank you so much for listening and good night.
Every time when you leave, begging you not to go, call your name 2 or 3 times in a row. Such a funny thing for me to try to explain how I'm feeling, and my pride is the one to blame. But I still don't understand just how your love can do what no one else can. Got me looking so crazy right now. Your love got me looking so crazy right now. Got me looking so crazy right now. Your touch got me looking so crazy right now. Got me hoping you'll page me right now. Your kiss got me hoping you'll save me right now. Looking so crazy, your love.